You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 21. John and 21. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And God and Father, I'm going to help us. Thank you very much. God, make it so that you're pleased and that we are profited. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, we have gone through the 20 chapters of John. And the point of the chapters is to present the Jesus Christ as God. He's the Word become flesh. And he was born to die, as understandable. And that John is going to say in chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He's God in the flesh, God himself going to the cross. And as we did last time, I think, to go through, and we saw that he is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's God. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully God. And we are to understand and see him. So when we see him, that's what the 20 chapters are about, to expose and remind us that don't see by them that did see, so that we could understand his wonderful person. And therefore, they came, and remember our Lord would say in John 14 and that, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And he would say, John 10, "Good Shepherd, I and my Father's hand are the same." Same hand. "I and my Father, I am one." God's wonderful, wonderful person in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 21 chapters, the last living apostle to put together all of history, sacred and secular, so that we would understand God before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb of God was slain. That's why creation took place. And in the process, God had died on the cross to make all of his wonderful plan valid, real, and right. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and as we did all that to remind ourselves and believe in John 20 and 31, "These things are written that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So A, to be believing, and remember the word believe or faith, believe in this case, is 99 times in the book of John, 99 times. So, and in believing, what are we going to do? You believe who he is so that you can have a relationship to him that involves eternal life, as we did in Sunday school, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so, having made that clear and settled it, you got to believe. Okay, now, in the purpose of all of that, to understand believing, and the Gospel of John is the penman to be writing, and in the process, to believe and God, so to be noting in the process that the disciples who are with him for 3 1/3 years, and they were with him, they spent a wonderful night in the upper room, John 13 through 17. They automatically, and it was a very difficult time, they went, and then they enjoyed, had the experience of seeing him, his resurrection, that he rose again from the grave, and so his appearance. And so they saw that, Thomas saw that, etc. And they were to go, they were to have all of that in their head. I'll say it again in a second. And they have all that in their head. And that's exciting. Now, and keep in mind, they had instructions of what to do. So, over in Matthew and chapter 26, and in Matthew chapter 26, picking up, if I may, in verse, you'll catch it directly. I'm going to read verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So all of that happened. And then God told them it's going to happen. So they didn't have to guess what they're going to experience. What he said to them here, they didn't believe that. They didn't believe it would be that. They all disappeared and ran. It was an awesome time. And the second thing, they didn't get that part. The second thing, verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So they were given that, and they were told that after he's risen, they've seen his resurrection, and to go to Galilee. That's where they're going. God's going to meet them there. Now, over to Matthew 28. And in Matthew chapter 28, picking up, if I may, and you'll catch it. Here's the resurrection account, chapter 28 of Matthew. And here's the angel, etc. And picking up, please, verse 28, verse 6. He is not here, but he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, where you shall see him, lo, I have told you. So they've given instructions about that. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So far, they have instructions. They've seen it all, and to do it again a little differently, they're going to go to Galilee. Galilee is where their home is. That's where they lived. That's where they worked. The fishermen and all, that's what they did. That's their home. So they're going home. Now, in order to get into the mood, so you see this, into the mood. Now, I'm going to be with them. You can use your imagination. I'm going to be with them a little bit, if I can. And here we are. We've been through 3 1/3 years of being with him. Awesome adventure. We've spent one night in the upper room, an overwhelming input of understanding of our relationship, how it's going to be, what it's going to be, how it's going to work, everything, all done. And then we have his resurrection, and we have seen him. We've seen him, and he's been in front of us, Peter, James, John, etc. All of that. We've seen him. It's a wonderful thing. It was a terrible, terrible thing, the cross, and we all scattered, as it were. But in the scattering of it, it was a horrible time, and we just went through that. But he told us he would rise again, but we didn't believe that. We didn't comprehend it to enjoy it. And so now, then God comes after on the Sunday after he rose again, and shows himself alive. And actually, we're going to say, when we're done, he's risen. He really, 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 really is risen. The one who we followed, the one who was crucified, is risen. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and then he goes, Thomas, boom, gone with Thomas. And now, so isn't that wonderful? And so what are we going to do? Well, he said to go to Galilee. We didn't remember that much. And go to Galilee. And well, why not go to Galilee? That's where we live. It's our home, etc. So we're going to go back to Galilee. And now, but what? What do you really believe? You believe he rose again? Absolutely. No question. No question. But what good's that do us? It's a wonderful thing. We were with him for 3.5 years. We didn't have the power, except when he gave it. We just were there. And now we've been with him. What a wonderful time it's been. A wonderful time. And he's risen again from the grave. And he actually is risen. Wow. And then we talk. He's gone. He was there, and now he's gone. And what are we going to do? Well, we'll go home. That's what we do. Go home. We're left here. We have no more information. But you do. You were told to go to Galilee, and he would meet you there. Do you remember that? No. Do you understand that? No. No, I don't. No, we don't. We don't understand it. But we believe. Sure we do. How can we not believe? Now, having said that, and keeping that, so having said we believe, so here's all the realities that are there. It's a real world. He's not here, and we're still like we are. We're still like we are. It's true we heard everything. We're with him, and we've seen him, but we're still us. It's still us. Same suit, same teeth, same everything. What's the sense? Okay. Okay. Now you got to get that. So in the process, and he's been with Thomas, remember the last one he was with in chapter 20, and he showed himself alive. Thomas was to stick his hand in his side, his hand. So it was very, very, you couldn't have made the impression more. God went out of his way to help Thomas. And he said, blessed are they that don't have to be like Thomas. Now, we did all that. Now, so here they are. And now what are they missing? They're in John. What do you know in the Gospel of John? Go over there just for a sec. And in John chapter 14, these not giving that just a little touch of what they were told in the upper room that would have been exciting if they had believed, if they could implement it. But they couldn't implement what God said without God. It couldn't be done. But they heard it. That's right. What was their assignment, among other things? Chapter 14. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. They're going to have a wonderful, wonderful exercise. They're going to have a wonderful exercise of truth. They're going to be able to do what he does. They're going to go and illustrate life. It'll be God's life in them. They're going to receive Christ as the Savior. They don't see that. And to be able to do what our Lord has done for 3.3 years, Wow. Wow. But no wow. No wow. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Why? Why do I need to understand the relationship? For without me, you can do nothing. You can't do it. You can't do it. See? Now, where are they? And they are. He's ascended, not ascended yet. And here he is there. And then he's gone. And he says, I'll see you in Galilee. But that didn't click in their head. Didn't click at all. No. Nope. So therefore, chapter 17. And their assignment, which they missed, chapter 17, as you'd guess, in verse 18. 17, 18, as the Father sent me, so send I you. As my Father sent me, even so also as the Father sent me into the world, even so have I also send them into the world. And they just didn't get that. They didn't get that. Now they've been missed. That's what they don't have. How could they go anywhere? They don't have anything. He had it all. They didn't have it. They didn't have it. And it says, without me you can do nothing, but that didn't click in their head. That didn't click yet. So he has the words of life. He has, this way, God is God, and we're just us. Humans. Easy? God's God, and we're us. That's it. So what? Now God, you got what you got, and we're still what we are. That's what we are. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember in chapter, while you're here, it's important, chapter 14 again. And you would notice, chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit, I'll read verse 16, context. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And the Spirit of God, chapter 15, verse 26. And when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So they had a wonderful assignment, a wonderful expectation, but it was missing in their head, in their heart. It wasn't there. It wasn't. They but to believe. What are you writing, John? We need to believe. We need to give God credit for what he said, all that he says. Now, hang on to that. Now, so, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if I can, and God's going to go and do his, and one other thing while you're in John, thank you for that, chapter 7. And the Spirit of God is absolutely essential. It isn't going to work without the Spirit of God. So, having said that, in chapter 7, and if I can, in verse 30, well, I'll read verse 37. You know it. 7:37. In that day, that great day, the great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Okay. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But they don't have any rivers. Our Lord had it, but they don't have it. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, after the Holy Ghost was not yet, after received. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet crucified. So he had to be crucified. He has to rise again. And what was the, they, all of this information was there, but it just didn't collect. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is going to make you enjoy the life that Jesus had, the life that you never, all you could do was see it. You couldn't imitate it. You could follow it, but you never possessed it. Never. So all you, as it were, so God is going to do something so that you possess individually the wonderful life that you've seen lived in front of you for 3 1/3 years. You're going to be able to have that life in you. But they don't have that. They don't have it. Therefore, chapter 21. And in chapter 21, picking up, if I may, now, keep in mind, now here's John, the last living apostle, writing. And he finishes chapter 20, verse 31. And that's the point of the 20 chapters. Now John is there. So this is John way, 95, way back before the 60 something years after this event. And he writes the 20 chapters. And then God, in his wonderful grace, John then adds, and you need the background a little bit, he's going to add something. Do you know, I told you the whole point from Genesis to Revelation to John is to believe. Give God credit for being God. Won't you do that? Now, but, we're supposed to be, and do you know what? Believing requires really believing. And do you know what? We really didn't believe. And I'm going to tell you, said John, let me add a little sentence, a little chapter to help you understand. After having everything, the resurrection, Thomas, put your hand on my side, having all of that, you still need to believe. You need to believe why he died, why he rose again, the gospel. You need to underbelieve. We needed to believe. So God said, write this, John, because you were there. That's right. Chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself, all that we read in chapter 20. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, made a name for the governor, for the emperor, I should say, and of the... That's the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. And A, underline in your mind, what's the purpose of chapter 21? He showed himself alive. But he just did. That's right. But he got to help them some more. And when you come to the end of verse 21, and he on this wise showed himself alive. And sliding down, if I can, in the process, God is going to go and show himself alive. That's what he's going to do. So, in the process of showing himself alive, what's he doing? I told them to go to Galilee, and I'd be there waiting for them. That's what I told them. All they had to do, after I was gone, Thomas... You guys pack up your lunch and get your stuff and go back home to Galilee because I'm waiting for you there. But that was missed. They just didn't catch the connection. They just didn't get it. So therefore, Jesus is going to do what? What he said he would do. He showed himself alive. That's what he need. They need to see that. Connecting, not just his resurrection and he's gone. You need to be able to see and understand, why did he go? In my Father's house are many mansions, etc. I long for you to be there to see my glory. I want you there so that I need to be there so that you can be on earth and bear witness to me. You are my witnesses, Acts 1:8, etc. Now, having said that, and so therefore, what do we have? Well, he showed himself alive. And then, what was the occasion that God used in verse 2? And they were gathered to it, and there were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, and the two other disciples. That's a total of 11 disciples, 11 of them. And in the process of 11 of them are there. And here they are, Peter are there. He's an apostle, Thomas an apostle, etc. James and John, they're apostles. There's four apostles. They're all going to be. They're in this, going there. And Nathanael's going to be there. He isn't an apostle officially, but he was there. And there were two others that are not named. They're all disciples. They're all there. What's the whole point? I'm going to have something to help you understand. I'm going to help Peter in particular and John. I'm going to help the two of them. But in helping the two of them, I'm going to help all of you. Now, so here they are, the 11 of them. And what are they going to do? Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, he's sort of a leader and a runner, runs ahead doing. And Peter said, well, when we're home, what do we do when we're home? We go to work. What do we do for work? We fish. So we're going to go, I'm going to go fishing. And what did the rest of them say? They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So here's the seven of them there, and in the process, they're going to go, and they're there to go fishing, and they join Peter in the boat to go out and at the night to go fishing. And in the process, as they're going to go out, they got Peter, James, and John. Those three are there, et cetera. They're there. In particular, of all the different, here's the 11 disciples, but here's the three of them. Four disciples are going to be there, I should say. And in the process, and here's the total of seven. And in the process, here's the four disciples, in particular, three of them, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John go with Peter into the boat to go fishing. What about Peter, James, and John? God has gone and wonderfully taken those three men and given them special attention for special reasons. And so with Jairus' daughter, they're there. At the Mount of Transfiguration, they're there. The Garden of Gethsemane, they're there. And now where are they? In the boat. Three of them. Now, so in the process, they're all there, and they go, what they normally did, after all, that's their trade, their profession, they're fishermen. And they go. And they're going to go fishing. And they're going to go at night, because at night you catch different, they have a different kind of atmosphere in fishing. And in the process, they go out at night. And in the process, what do? Well, they caught nothing. They caught nothing, which is what happens. And they went out fishing and spent the whole night, and they ended up with nothing. So, and they're just coming back. They haven't been fishing. They haven't been fishing, we assume, for 3 1/3 years. Well, they may have been a little bit different times, but I take that back. And in the process, they went fishing. And here's Peter, James. So they're all there. And they all go and do what they do. So, and in the process, we want to add to this, Peter. Why? Peter's the one that leads the charge into the boat. He's the one. He's the one that's going to go and leads the, and the others follow him. Over to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, we have an account earlier, and here's Peter. In chapter 5, verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And verse 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, so there's no one in the boats. Verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. He's going to go. He leaves the boat. He says, go on. It's now. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for a drawing in of the net. So they're going to go. It's now night time. And the Lord steps back onto the land and they go out fishing. And the Lord sent them fishing. They didn't choose to go. But God sent them this time. And Simon answering said, Master, now this is now when they come back. They did all of this. So when they come back, they've gone out fishing all night. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. The net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. So here comes the net, and they followed God's instructions, and the net was overloaded full. So much so, verse 7, they beckoned unto their partners in the other boat that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So that shows you how many fish they got. The two boats were having trouble holding all the fish. Uh-huh. Now, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Peter recognized his attitude, his thinking. He's going to do something. He's going to do it the way he's going to do it, to say it. And in this, here's a case in point. It didn't come out. And he should have listened to the Lord. He didn't believe. He should have believed. He should have believed and enjoyed in his heart, dropping the net, fish or no fish. But he didn't do it. And so he repents in his mind and heart, I'm a sinful man. Now, back over if I can. And remember now, what else do you know about Peter, all of them? They all followed the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, he spoke to them, follow me. And Peter, James, John, Thomas, they dropped the net. They dropped whatever they were doing, net or no net, fish or no fish. They dropped it and immediately followed him. And they did it for 3 1/3 years. That's what they did. They believed. They were committed. A wonderful thing they did. Now, but here's Peter back out in the water, out fishing. And he's fishing out there, and they're out there all night. Peter, are you recording in your mind so that you could put the pieces together? Peter wasn't doing too much of that, obviously. So now, they caught nothing, chapter 21. And remember now, I'll read verse 3 quickly. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, spent the night, and they, like it before, They entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So they did the same thing that what they used to doing, and they did it. And the disciples knew not. But when morning was come, remember they got no fish. When morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, and remember now you're going to read in verse 8, the little ship, and the other disciples came in the little ship. You don't want to jump ahead, but it's 200 cubits, that's 300 feet. It's a football field. The ships are out there, and here's a football field, and here's the shoreline. The ship's out here, and the Lord's here, 300 feet away. And as God's wonderful way of doing things, he, like with Martha, with Mary, and each one, with Thomas, he came to his disciples, and he helped them understand. They were two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they didn't. Did you see? He made himself so you didn't understand who he was, so that he would present something to them to think about, and then turn the light on so they could put the pieces together. He showed them the darkness and to talk about things, and then he let them find out who he was. Here he is on the shore, and here they are out there, and they caught nothing. And verse 5, Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat, food, fish? And they answered him, No. Do you have any fish? That's what I want to know. And they said, No, we don't. Now, the question is a negative answer question. So I'm going to give you that same, what we just read in verse 5. Have the children, remember the word children? Little children. Children there means youth, young, small, boys. He talked to them. They're my children. They're my children. And then they're my children. That's what he said. He called, children, boys. You know, and they, okay. Now, and in the process, have you any meat? Did you get any fish? Or, better, you do not have any fish to eat, do you? You do not have any fish to eat, do you? And they said, no. He said, you don't have any fish, do you? And they said, no, we don't. No, we don't. Okay, now, we don't have any fish. Okay, so verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. So here's the little boat out there, 100 yards out, 300 feet. And they cast their net over the other side. They didn't debate. Someone said, whoever that guy is on the shore, he said, throw the net on the other side. So before we quit for the day, we'll throw the net on the other side. That's what he said, throw the net on the other side. Okay. They've been through this, but it isn't clicking. Therefore, that disciple whom they cast, verse 6, they cast therefore the net near, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of the fishes. So there's all these fishes, and the net's loaded with fish. And in the process, they have all these fish in the net they throw out, and they pulled the net. They couldn't put the net on board the ship. It was too heavy to lift it, too heavy. And therefore, they had all the gut, and they're there. Here's all the fish, they're looking. Now here they are leaning over, holding all this net and the fish. Verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, that's John, he's on the boat, that's right, John and Peter. And he saith unto Peter, because he's sharp, he's quick. Peter's quick in one way, John's quick in a good another way. And John said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord that did that. That's who, that isn't just anyone, that's Christ. That's the one who said it. That's the one who's talked, that's our Lord. Ah, and Peter connected the dots, connected the net, and John, and it's Jesus, it's the Lord, it's the Lord. And so what did he do? And when verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he doesn't mess around, Peter doesn't, and he has his little undergarments that they would have working fishing, and he went and took his garment that you would be dressed with to appear in public. And now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girded his fisherman's coat under him, and when he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. Now here's Peter, and what did he do? Well, he's out there, and Peter goes in his wonderful, wonderful way, and dives over, puts his little coat on, and tightens the belt, and dives in the water, and goes all the way. And it can't be too deep, because the ships can't get in. So he goes in all the way there, and in the process, he's swimming in, and the others get in their boat, another little boat, and they're going to pull in because the water is too shallow. And they come in, and they're pulling the net behind them. They're pulling the net. That's what you got to see. Peter's there, and here comes the boat, the two of them coming in. Now, and Peter got there. Verse 9. As soon then as they were come into the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. That's what they saw. Now they're coming in, they're pulling in this big load of fish. Peter, no doubt, would have stood when he got there, helped them pull it in, to pull in the net. Here's all the fish. And in the process, and verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, not just little fishes, but great fishes, 153 great fishes. They counted them for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. So they got all those fish and they're pulling them onto the beach, as it were. Here they are. Now, having done that and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the process, and what we said in Luke, remember, they've been through this before in some way or fashion in the process. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I may, and sliding down, if I can, and Peter, and picking up, please, dragging all the net, and they saw the fire. Who art thou? I didn't mean to go that fast. And the verse 11, for all there were so many, there was not yet net was not broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who art thou? They knew, knowing that it was the Lord. They were embarrassed. It was a very difficult time. I should have known better. They were guilty as could be. They thought he was gone. And he said, I want you to go to Galilee. I don't want you to go fishing. I don't want you to go back home. It isn't for you to get back to normal living. You have wonderful a new kind of life. I want you to live. I'm waiting for you in Galilee. Not for the old life, for a new one. You're going to represent me. Believe on the John 20 and 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have a wonderful life. That's what I want you to do. That hasn't clicking, but it's going to click. Now, Having said that, and keeping that in mind, so Jesus saith unto them, come and dine, and none of the disciples dared to ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them the fish likewise. So God's going to go in his most wonderful way and give them breakfast. That's what he's going to do. He invited them to breakfast. And interestingly enough, he wanted to know if they got a lot of fish. Oh, they had a lot of fish. But it wasn't their fish. He already was there in his wonderful way, God does. A fire. And on the coals, all the fishes, enough for us. And the bread, enough for us. I'm going to serve you breakfast. I'm not going to use your fish. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide a wonderful provision. I want you to have breakfast. That's what I want you to do. Now, how could, if you want to help the Lord, how would you help them? They should have been believing. He didn't go after them. What he did is nicely be patient, and he helped them. He gave them space to remind them. Who was the one that fed the 5,000? You were there, 15,000 actually. Were you there and you served? And then he tells them the 7,000 at each time. In the upper room when he broke bread, the disciples on the Emmaus Road, he broke the bread and they said, wow! He opened to them the scriptures. What are you going to do, Lord? I'm going to be patient with them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to give them breakfast. That's what I'm going to do. I want them to have breakfast. And they're going to know. They're going to know. When I put that out in front of them, they're going to know it's me. What do they need to know? I didn't need their fishes. Could I provide fish? I just illustrated to them for them. I could provide anything they need. But they represent me, and I want them to understand they have to honor me. They have a wonderful, wonderful relationship that has to be outlived. They haven't caught on yet, but they will. They will. And in the meantime, I want them to stay fresh and stay with it in the process so that they do and be everything they should. Now, what do we know? Well, God, there's another kind of life, his life, that God, when God saves a man or woman, boy or girl, they have their old life. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But as we shared in Sunday school and that, you have a physical body, and your physical body gives you physical life for earth. And that you live inside this body. You're able to relate, to eat, to drink, to see, to come, to go. You relate to it because your physical body is made for you to live in. And your physical body allows you to have earthly existence. Without your body, we bury it, and there's nothing. Your body is to help you have earthly existence. You have a spirit, body, soul, spirit. When a person comes to know, they have spiritual life. Spiritual life. And I don't have out, but I was going to get out. And I'm not going to take that because it's warm, that bulb. It's a bulb. Can you imagine? Use your imagination. Light bulb. Light bulb. And here's the light bulb. What makes the light bulb work? Here's the light bulb. Light bulb. Light bulb. Imagination. Here's your light bulb. And it has a little filament in it. Little filament. And when the electricity comes in, it heats that filament, and so it has light. There's light. Now, it's made with a filament. It's made to show light. As long as it has power, it is lit. You can see. But if there's no power, the filament's still there, the light's still there, but there's no power. And if I had, here's the bulb. The bulb can be put in your pocket. The bulb can go anywhere. It isn't lit. It's all the way to Galilee. It isn't lit. It needs to be lit. It needs the power. That's what you read in John 14 and 15 and 16. The Spirit of God's ministry is to be the power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1:8. That's the power to make the relationship work. So you can't enjoy physical life without your body, and you can't enjoy spiritual life without God. Without electricity, if you don't keep power into this bulb, it's out. If you don't keep God in the right place, there is no light in your life. And I don't care how you want to cut the cookie. You can be a bishop and speak 25 messages and teach the whole Bible. I don't care what you do. You have no life. You say, well, that's no. Listen, the Jewish people and all kinds of people speak the Bible and are unsaved. There's no question you could read the Bible, write a book about the Bible, and not be saved. You can write a book about anything and not be there. So they had it. What did they learn? They had to learn the wonderful, wonderful experience that God gives them life. God gives them a brand. You know it. I wish I had time, but just think of it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. All things have passed away, everything's become new. All new. When did that happen? The moment you got saved. Peter, James, and John, you need to understand the Spirit of God. That's why you're going to have to Acts chapter 2. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you have no power. You have no life. John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing. You have to have it. But I can preach. No, I could preach. We do anything we want. Doesn't mean you have life. You got to have life. That's why people say, oh, I'm saved. Well, not because I'm saved, but because I'm not. Your belief doesn't save you. God does. God saves you. And God keeps you saved. God loves you to be saved. Now, having said that, a little bit, and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, in God. So you want to have, we have a wonderful, we're new creatures. We're supposed to enjoy a new life. Just think of Sunday school and all that. I wish I could translate that for, up front here for you. You're supposed to enjoy a new life. And all you got your old life. And apart from God, it's you. And you say the same things and do the same things and you feel the same way. And even if you read your Bible, I read my Bible, I went to church. I went to church, I went out the door, I put on my suit of make-believe to come to church, and out the door I go, and off comes my suit. I only need to measure up to fit the event. It isn't about fitting the event. It's about a changed life, a whole new ball game. You represent our Lord Jesus Christ. And man, that's a whole different ball game. That is. And that's what's missing. The fishermen. That's why Acts chapter 21. They all went fishing and caught nothing. They got saved, and now I'm going to live my old life in my old way. No, you're not. You're supposed to live a brand new life in a brand new way. Same body, same refrigerator, same job, same everything. But whatever you do, in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. It's different. The ordinary has become extraordinary, and that's what's supposed to be. You do the ordinary things. An extraordinary way. That's why I mentioned Bible school and all these things. It's a whole nother way, a whole nother world, a whole nother wonderful, wonderful thing. And God said, this is your new vocation. This is your calling. You have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be saved. And God, you need God to be saved, don't you? Who saves you? Who saves you? God does. Whose life do you have? His. You need him to be saved. You need him to live. Believe, John 20 and 31. I want you to believe. That's why these are all written, that you might believe and have life. The disciples, I've been to church, I did everything, I went, but you missed the life. And that's the problem. You aren't able to function. The light bulb isn't lit. But I did. I don't care if you teach whatever you do. If it isn't no light, there's no light. And as long as you talk to other bulbs that are out, it won't make any difference. All you need is a whole bunch of light bulbs, and they're all out. So who cares, right? No one else is lit. Why do you need to be lit? I got to quit. You got the idea. John, God, you know how to say the right things in the right way to get to the heart that has an ear to hear. You know how to say it, God. That's why John chapter 21, I added it so you could understand their problem. They were trying to keep themselves and understand themselves and all of that, which they were with me for 3 years, all the time. They needed what I did all the way to the cross and my resurrection was to provide for them a wonderful, real, right relationship to who I am, that they might have an enjoyable trip in time through eternity with me, called eternal life. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and patience. And God, what can we say? So help us. We're so slow to pick up, God. And it's our old nature that louses us up. So thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for helping us. Deal with us, Spirit of God. No one knows the heart like you do. And no one can help us like you can. So, and for those who aren't saved, God, get them saved. Get them to the place where they're convicted, God, and not just to be a... No, God, help them. In Christ's name, amen.